start or sit for the AFC home games and a bonus game, Detroit-Seattle, on Monday Night Football. This episode is supported by Stamps.com, where you can buy and print official U.S. postage for any letter or package using your own computer and printer. For a four-week trial and a special $110 bonus offer, go to Stamps.com, click on the microphone, and enter the promo code FFT. Adam Azer, Dave Richard, and Jamie Eisenberg. Good morning.
Good day, sir.
Jamie, hello.
Morning.
Dave, I miss you on the Wednesday shows. I don't know if I'm speaking for everyone, but I do.
It's really nice of you to say that, Adam. I don't miss you at all.
Oh, well, you have the trade chart, so it would be very helpful. Check out Dave's trade chart. Awesome stuff. FantasyNews.CBSSports.com. All right, so we'll go through those games. I have random thoughts on Jeremy Hill and Keenan Allen that I want your thoughts on. But first, here's some of the big news items. Philadelphia, Washington could be moved to week 8 due to an approaching, is it a tropical storm right now? Whatever it is.
It's a hurricane.
Yeah, already?
Thanks for keeping up with the news. It's a full-blown hurricane. It's the biggest, nastiest thing I've ever seen.
What category is it?
Somehow, it's not even going to touch Florida. Like, if you watch it in the news now, it looks like it's, maybe 75 miles from the coast of Florida, maybe even closer. And it's not going to come anywhere near Florida. It's crazy.
Well, it could hit the East Coast.
For everybody who's in that DMV area.
Yeah. So, obviously, be safe. But this game could be moved. So, if you're debating a guy in the Philadelphia-Washington game or someone tonight, what do you do?
Well, I mean, you just got to go the other way. Go with somebody tonight.
Okay.
Unless you can drop somebody who's playing tonight. If it's someone negligible, and then you pick up somebody who plays on Sunday or Monday.
Yeah, but I guess if you're debating Justin Forsett or Matt Jones, somebody's in that scenario.
Yeah.
You play Forsett.
That's a good point. But I would play Forsett anyway.
I agree.
What if it's Alfred Morris or Justin Forsett?
I would play Forsett anyway. I have no interest in Alfred Morris.
All right, well, some running backs who are basically 50-50 to play. Andre Ellington, Marshawn Lynch, and Arian Foster. Ellington, Lynch, and Foster. Hopefully we'll know more about those guys tomorrow. And for tonight's
game.
What's that?
McCoy, too.
Yeah, LeSean McCoy as well.
And DeMarco Murray.
Well, McCoy is probably out.
I think he's out.
I think of all the guys you listed, they're probably not going to play. The one that actually has the most chance might be Arian Foster.
Not Murray?
He didn't list Murray.
I see.
Crockett, Gilmore, Rashad Perryman will not play tonight. You guys looking forward to tonight's game? Or you think it's going to be kind of ugly?
It'll be ugly, but it'll be fun. The Steelers and Ravens are always great entertainment.
Jamie, which game do you think Dave will be focusing on more, the Hurricanes game or the Ravens-Steelers game?
He'll be asleep by halftime of both.
No. Well, halftime of the Hurricanes game will be the first quarter. You take the over? All right. We'll see if you really are Big K-1. Just quickly here, I want to tell you about some of our podcasts. If you haven't been listening, the SEC on CBS, great for SEC football fans. Gary Danielson comes on every week. Rick Neuheisel coming on this week. Chip Patterson's doing a great job hosting that, the SEC on CBS podcast. The Opening Line podcast, we're going to 4 times a week now. We got a Vegas guy coming on today to talk about some of the trends that he's seeing. Interesting stuff.
What kind of Vegas guy, Adam?
What's that?
What kind of Vegas guy?
He works for a company that manages sports books at different hotels and casinos in Vegas. Palms.
See, I almost picture him to be like wearing, some zoot suit with rings on his fingers and hair slicked back and, one of those old school Vegas guys. But I bet he's actually like a nice button down, intelligent human being.
I don't know. I've never met him or seen him, but I'll
Is his name like Vinny the Fish?
Yes. It is. He is. Benny the Fish is coming on the show today. We have a Roughing the Passer podcast where Pete Prisco basically just talks about quarterbacks and, football in general a lot. Brady Quinn's on that. Will Brinson's on that. That's twice a week for now. Hopefully more soon. Roughing the Passer. You can watch Fantasy Football Today live noon Eastern Tuesday through Friday and 11 a.m. on Sunday morning Eastern time, of course. And you guys are going to have a live football game to talk about this coming weekend. The Dolphins and Jets are at 9:30 a.m. Eastern. Set your lineup early.
I love that.
Yeah, that's such a great week.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, Eye on Fantasy Football, CBS Sports Radio, Saturday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern to midnight. You can listen to them online. You can listen on your local CBS Sports Radio affiliate, and I am done promoting.
Whoa, you forgot Thursday Night Live.
I always forget Thursday Night Live. I am sorry.
Well, that's like one of the best things we do, Adam.
I don't know why I forget it. I actually watch it.
I was going to bring it up is because you mentioned the Roughing the Passer podcast. Will Brinson is on the Thursday Night Live show, and he probably plugs the Roughing the Passer podcast every other segment.
Really?
Yep. Well, as we were talking on Thursday, on Roughing the Podcast.
I was on the Roughing the Passer podcast.
Pete Prisco was on the Roughing the Passer podcast. Whoa.
Okay, well, that's good to know. Good for him. Somebody has to promote podcasting other than me. Two random thoughts.
He also has crazy hair all over his body like you do.
He's worse than I am.
We could have a contest to see who has more.
In fact, Heath has a hairier chest than I do, too. I'm not even like one of the... You talk about my chest earlier. It's not even close to Heath or Will.
I've never actually seen your chest.
I've seen his chest.
I've seen his belly. That thing is hairy.
Okay. Jeremy Hill. Chris Towers wrote a blog entry about this. Is he this year's Eddie Lacy or Zach Stacy? And the difference is Lacy really struggled over the first three games. He scored a combined 10 fantasy points last year in standard scoring leagues, and then Lacy was obviously great after that. Stacy, in 2013, the comparison is, you know, second year running back. What kind of season is he going to have? 2013, Stacy was pretty good, even though he only averaged 3.9 yards per carry, but he was good for fantasy, had five games with 26 carries or more. Is Jeremy Hill going the route of Zach Stacy, or will he be more like Eddie Lacy and turn things around? I got a little bit worried when I looked at the amount of carries that Hill got in some of the games. He had five games with 22 carries or more with Giovanni Bernard's, you know, emergence here. Is that a word?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Emergence, yes, it's a word. But speaking of emergence, it was Jeremy Hill who showed emergence when Gio was hurt last year.
Right. So anyway, what do you think about Hill?
I still like him a lot. I still think he's going to get opportunities. I don't know how many games he'll have 22 carries. It might be in situations where Cincinnati's just grinding down the clock and they're blowing out opponents. But I still think he's a very good running back. And Cincinnati's lucky to have two guys, and they can use them any way they see fit. Coming into the season, we thought Hill would be the primary back with Gio working in passing situations, maybe some two-minute drill, maybe spelling Jeremy Hill on longer drives every now and then. But this was a team that I thought would actually end up being more run-centric than pass-centric, and it's been the opposite. They've been great throwing the ball, and they've been in games where they've needed to throw the ball, and that favors Gio. Now, you also have to work into it that Jeremy Hill had a game where he fumbled twice, so he got benched. So week two, you got to throw that out. Came back in week three, tried to get going, couldn't. Gio had a hot hand. He finished the game. That's probably a better representation of what's going to go down between these two backs. Each week they're going to get opportunities, and whoever's doing better is going to end up getting the ball. And I think this should be a week for Hill to step up, or at least get good opportunities against Kansas City. Chiefs coming on the road again after a short week. The run defense is okay. The numbers look better than I think they actually are. And I think Jeremy Hill could end up having a touchdown and 80 total yards in the game.
Okay. I know, Jamie, you like Hill this week. He's gonna be one of the three guys that you like, but you might as well say it now. You like Jeremy Hill?
Yeah.
For all the reasons Dave just outlined.
Mm-hmm. Anything I missed? Anything else that you like about him besides he's fancy?
No. He's good. Yeah.
Okay. Now, second thing. Keenan Allen. I want to go back to something we talked about yesterday that I should have followed up with, but didn't. Jamie, you said that you have to buy into Keenan Allen. Two out of three games, really good. What happens to Keenan Allen when Antonio Gates returns next week?
Well, I think I said that it's, you know, we'll see what happens when Gates comes back. I said it maybe on our video show.
I might have just forgot about that. I'm sorry.
Well, look, you have a scenario where this is a coaching staff, at least Mike McCoy, and a quarterback in Phillip Rivers that likes to spread the ball around. But I think, you know, when you're talking about 17 targets, 18 targets, like he's had two of the three games, that goes down to probably 10 to 12. You know, if you're just looking at another person being thrown in the mix, it's not like Ladarius Green hasn't been targeted. So I don't think they're going to run two tight end sets. That's not their main form of...
They will, it just won't happen very
well,
often.
Well, two tight end sets where they're going to throw the ball to both tight ends. So I think it's just one of those situations where you have so many options in this offense when Woodhead's healthy. And go back 2 years ago, that's what they had. They had, you know, Gates suffered because Keenan Allen was good and Danny Woodhead was good and Malcolm Floyd was their deep guy. And those guys kind of, you know, missed some time with injuries, and that's what helped Keenan Allen as a rookie. But last year it was, you know, Eddie Royal and just kind of everybody having options. I think Keenan Allen has just, you know, stepped up his performance based on what he did this offseason to get himself in better shape. Seems to be running better routes, you know, by all accounts, and is delivering. And I think that goes a long way with Phillip Rivers with the way he's throwing the ball right now, especially with the offensive line not being able to get the ball down the field. These short area targets are really benefiting him.
Yeah, now this week against Cleveland, Dave, you're a little bit lower on Keenan Allen. You both have him as a number two, but Jamie has Keenan Allen 15th, and Dave, you have him 22nd in standard and 18th in PPR. 22nd in standard means there are some scenarios where, you know, fantasy owners might have better options than Keenan Allen. What do you see from him this week, Dave?
I think it's going to be a game where I think San Diego wins handily, but I don't think it necessarily means they put up a ton of points in the process. And we've seen this happen from the Chargers before, including when they've lost two straight on the road and then they come back home to beat up on an inferior opponent. And I would say that the Browns are exactly that. I think Keenan Allen won't have a chance at getting as many targets as he did in week one and week three, because I don't see this being a high scoring competitive game. I think he can still come away with 8 or 9 catches, but he's not taking the top off of defense. He's averaged 11 yards per catch in 2 games and 8 yards per catch in another. And the routes that he's running, Jamie said it, they're all short to mid-range type routes. So if defenses can key in on him and they know that that's what he's going to do, it's going to make it a little bit harder. He's going to have to be really sharp on his routes to get away with it. And then against Minnesota last week, his touchdown came on a play where the Vikings' best cornerback was knocked out for the game. Not that Cleveland's corners are any good, because they're not. I just look at this as a game where the Chargers get their run game moving in the direction they want to. I think this is a game where Melvin Gordon has a lot of carries and a lot of work. I think Woodhead is still going to have a role. He'll do some nice things. Allen might score, but I'm a little worried about him delivering anything close to what he's done before, which is 19 plus fantasy points.
Right. Well, he's been getting like 16 or 17 targets in those games. Now, Cleveland has given up 2 touchdown passes in every game this season to guys like Fitzpatrick, Mariota, and Carr. So that bodes well for Rivers in the passing game. More on that game a little bit later. FanDuel. All right. All of you out there, you love playing fantasy football, or you wouldn't be listening to this podcast. Unless
that's
you just,
true. I do love fantasy football.
Yeah, exactly. Unless you just love us so much, but I doubt that's the case. So trust me when I tell you, you will love playing.
And I do trust you.
Thank you. You will love playing 1 week fantasy football at FanDuel.com. Now, you guys actually can comment on this. I started playing last year, and I just loved it. I mean, we got so into it on Sundays. That's pretty much the only teams we were talking about were our FanDuel teams.
It's true. It's a lot of fun. It's always fun to kind of try and build that team with the right sleeper and the right stud, and try and build that perfect lineup combination to help you finish high in the tournaments that you're in, or in the 50-50 games that you're in, or even one-on-one. You know what I've kind of rediscovered, Adam, is the one-on-one games.
Yeah.
So now
fun.
I'm not playing against 200,000 people anymore. I'm just playing against one random guy who loves fantasy football as much as I do.
You and me, one-on-one this week.
Okay, you got it.
Yes.
I'm going to kick your butt. That's not going to be a problem at all.
All right, anyway.
I'm starting to like those a lot better than I do some of the other games on FanDuel, but I'm playing them all anyway.
Yeah, and that's the good thing about FanDuel. There are a lot of options. You can play against a lot of people or very limited if you'd like. And if you're going to play daily fantasy, it better be on FanDuel.com. It's the best by far in the business. Use our offer code CBSPOD when you sign up. FanDuel will match your first deposit dollar for dollar up to 200 bucks. FanDuel.com/CBSPOD is our tournament. We've told you about that. You can check the details on that website, FanDuel.com/CBSPOD. And again, when you sign up, the offer code is CBSPOD. Time to get into the games. Tweet of the day is from Jimmy Hayworth. He tweeted us, he said, start Carlos Williams or Melvin Gordon? And in my mind, I was just thinking, you guys are going to easily say Carlos Williams. And Dave said, I wouldn't start Melvin Gordon. You said you'd start Williams over Gordon, but Dave, you said it was really close. And
no, I said I'd start Gordon over Williams.
Oh, you would, huh?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm a believer in Melvin Gordon against this Browns D.
Just to play
banged up and not good.
I understand the Browns defense 2 years in a row, basically worst run defense in the NFL last year and 3 games this year. But how can you, who's going to get the touchdowns for San Diego? You know, I think Williams seems to have a clearer role. Granted, going up against a run defense that's been a lot better than Cleveland. So you'd go Gordon over Williams, huh?
Well, they're back to back in my rankings. And if you want to buy into Williams getting the full workload, that's fine. I'm not sure he's going to be the guy at the 1 yard line, though. That could be Booby Dixon. In San Diego, I think Gordon's going to be that guy.
No, I've already dropped him.
Yeah, what is this about you adding
it was
Anthony
an accident.
Booby Dixon?
It was an accident.
Could have gotten Carlos Williams.
It was an accident.
Could have gotten Carlos Williams.
No, that's the thing. I couldn't have gotten Carlos Williams.
So then what are you doing?
I made a mistake.
You said your brain melted down?
Yes, yes.
Look at that guilty smile on your face.
It's embarrassing. It's embarrassing.
You're unbelievable. Yeah, listen, if you want to buy into touches, definitely go with Carlos Williams. I think he might end up with more. I think he's got a little bit of a tougher matchup. But that's really about it. They're both really good. I think they could both get 100 yards and a touchdown this week.
Yeah, you guys both have both guys in the top 13. So, all right, Melvin Gordon, time for a big week. What about Danny Woodhead, Jamie? What do you think about him?
I think he's a top 24 running back. I think both guys are going to have an opportunity here. And Woodhead will still look if they're. I agree with Dave. I think the Chargers should win this game relatively easily, but their defense hasn't exactly played great. Their offensive line is still a little bit of a mess. And, you know, Cleveland, for basically the Mike Pettine era, has really put up a fight almost every game that they've been in. So this could still be a competitive game through three quarters. And, you know, we'll still see the Chargers in some hurry up. And you'll still see Danny Woodhead out there. And he's still a guy that's going to get some goal line opportunities as well. You know, it's funny that you look at it from the Williams, Anthony Dixon scenario and Gordon Woodhead scenario. Woodhead is the best goal line back of those four guys, and he's the smallest one by far. But,
right.
You know, I still think he's still worth starting. His touches have been great through 3 weeks. He's been, to me, he's an easy top 24 guy.
I looked at Woodhead's touches. They went from 14 to 13 to 8, and Gordon's went from 17 to 17 to 14. So I think Gordon's touches have actually, he's had more. He's just not getting the type of touches that Woodhead has, i.e. he's not getting as many catches, and Woodhead does a good job after the catch.
Let's go to three you like and three you don't. Start with Dave's three. The first two are Melvin Gordon and Carlos Williams. We've outlined that. Question about Carlos Williams. Does it concern you at all that the Giants actually have been very good against the run? They've given up some short yardage touchdowns, but the Bills and Giants allow the fewest rushing yards in the NFL. It's actually an interesting game. These two teams allow the most passing yards and the fewest rushing yards in the NFL. They're top two and bottom two in those categories. And that's because they see the most pass attempts in the NFL. So teams throw on them. The Giants are giving up just, I think, 3.4 yards per carry. Is that any concern at all for hot waiver wire pickup Carlos Williams?
See, it's funny. I think that it would be a concern for me if it were LeSean McCoy. Because McCoy does just a little too much dancing behind that line. For my taste. And I think that's part of the reason why Philadelphia got rid of him. And we've seen it this year because his rushing average isn't so hot. But Carlos Williams doesn't do that. He's kind of a bulldozer, and he can hit the right hole hard. He's got a good offensive line. I think Buffalo's finally got it right with their offensive line. And he's taken advantage. He just chipped away at the Dolphins last week, and then that last run, 41 yards for a touchdown. Just a real good example of what you can get out of him. He's big. He's physical. I'm looking forward to the matchup between the Bills offensive line and the Giants front seven to see just how well that Bills line can do. And I think that they'll be all right. And I think that's part of the reason why I think Carlos Williams can eventually come up with some yards. He might get 5 yards and then finally break one for like 20 or 30.
Adam, I think you look at the Giants run defense. How do you think Tevin Coleman would have done if he played a full game?
I think he would have done well in touchdowns, but I don't think yards per carry he would have done that well. I think it might be a strength of the Giants, just stopping the run.
But do you think he would have gotten 100 total yards?
That seems like a lot, unless he caught passes.
You don't think he would have gotten 100 total yards based on the way he started off that game?
No, not really, because what he had 30 yards or something.
Didn't he have
like
28 yards on 9 carries?
Yeah, he didn't have a good yards per carry. So, here's the thing about these teams. I don't know if the Giants' run defense is that good. It's just that their pass defense is so bad that teams have been throwing on them. Like I said, the Bills and the Giants, most pass attempts in the NFL against. So that's, you know, that might limit running backs a little bit. But Rex Ryan's not going to get away from the run, is he?
No.
Not a chance.
And they're going to be playing from a lead with that game, so no.
Would you start Carlos Williams or Joseph Randall?
Williams.
Williams.
Williams or Jeremy Hill?
Hill.
I would go Hill.
Okay.
I know it's a little nuts, but let's not go all in on the hot young guy. 9 for 32 last week for Carlos Williams.
That's a quote, Jamie. By the way, Percy Harvin staying in that game. Another guy that Dave likes. So, yeah, Sammy Watkins probably going to miss the game. You like Percy Harvin here?
Take advantage of the matchup, especially with Sammy Watkins out. I think Harvin is the best deep threat for the Bills, and they are clearly willing to throw the ball deep. They did it with Chris Hogan last week against the Dolphins, and Sammy's gotten some deep love, and so has Percy Harvin. Week one, he got a deep catch, and he's actually put some pretty decent numbers together, at least catch-wise this year. If I could go back and look it up, I could tell you exactly what he's done. But I'm not a fan of Percy Harvin. It's just a matchup where he's just going to be given a really good opportunity.
Yeah. Would you rather have Harvin or Joseph Randall?
Randall.
Yeah, I would rather go with Randall. I feel like he's a little safer.
How about Harvin or Gio? Standard.
Gio.
I think I might take the chance on Harvin.
Harvin or Marshawn Lynch, if we don't know on Sunday?
It's got to be Harvin. He's had at least 4 catches per game, at least 5 targets per game. And, you know, in week one, he had a great receiving average. Since then, he's kind of bottomed out. But he's getting work in this offense. He's not a gadget player, per se.
All right, Jamie's 3 that he likes. Start of the week, Andy Dalton.
Yeah, you got to buy into what he's doing right now. Third best quarterback in fantasy. The Chiefs can't stop anybody. The last 2 games, clearly, it's, you know, 2 great quarterbacks. When you look at Peyton and Aaron Rodgers, but their secondary is bad. And Dalton has just played very well. I think that will continue.
And they lose Philip Gaines for the year in their secondary, but they do get Sean Smith back this year.
Do you know who has the longest active streak of multiple touchdown games throwing the ball?
It's not Andy Dalton.
It is Andy Dalton at 5.
Wow. That's not that many. It's tough to do that every week. Two others you
longest
like.
Stretch of his career.
Chris Ivory, and we covered Jeremy Hill. So tell me why you like Chris Ivory against the vaunted Dolphins defense, Jamie. They got Ndamukong Suh. They're going to stop the run every
they
week.
They do. They have Ndamukong Suh. Everything's going to be fixed for the Dolphins when they go overseas. It's clearly contingent on his health, but it sounds like he's trending toward playing, and I believe he is... the track record with him is double-digit carries. More times than not, he's got at least 8 or more fantasy points. So I believe it's like 14 times going back to last year. Now he's done that 9 times. So I'll buy into that versus that defense, which was just completely miserable for the first 3 weeks of the season. I think the Jets are playing from a lead, and I think Ivory gets his normal touches, and he does well.
Miami allowing the second most rushing yards per game in the NFL and 4.2 yards per carry. 3 you don't like. Dave, you don't like the Broncos running backs at home against Minnesota.
I can't trust them. Starting them as anything more than a flex is just taking a blind leap of faith because you don't know who's going to be the better running back. The matchup isn't amazing. And even if it was amazing, this offensive line hasn't helped these running backs do anything, and they're splitting to the point where it's hurting them. Last week, Juwan Thompson got a chance to play when when CJ Anderson got banged up. Anderson came back into the game, and then Thompson got banged up. It is an unfortunate mess, and it's an unpredictable mess, and I would try and stay away from it. Poor CJ Anderson has 6 fantasy points this season. 6 this season. He's played 3 games. He had 3 in week 1, 2 in week 2, 1 in week 3. So he's on pace for 0 this week.
Well, if you want to be encouraged, I said earlier in the show, Eddie Lacy had 10 fantasy points through 3 weeks last year. So hopefully
I'm not saying to cut these guys.
Yeah, no, totally.
I'm just saying, try and bench him if you can.
Would you start Percy Harvin over CJ Anderson?
Yes.
No.
Jamie, is it just because you're low on Harvin?
Or? No, I think Harvin's, you know, okay. I just wonder game flow with them if they're running the ball on the Giants, which I think they will. how many opportunities Harvin will have by comparison to the, you know, the Broncos want to get CJ Anderson going. I mean, everything you hear from Gary Kubiak, he's been banged up at the start of the season. And I think had he not gotten the injury last week, he would have seen a little bit more carries and probably would have gotten you more production. So I'm going to buy into still CJ Anderson. I think he scores this week. He may not have a great yards per carry. He may not have a ton of yards, but I think he'll find the end zone. Denver needs to get their running game going, and this is a week at home to get it to make it happen.
Dave does not want to start any Dolphins this week. You don't. Actually, it says three you don't like, and you put any Dolphins. So I was actually wondering about Snowflake, the Dolphin, and you know, why don't you like him?
I wouldn't even start Shamu the Whale, and he's not even a Dolphin.
I think the Dolphins are going to win this week, by the way.
You do?
Yes.
All right, I'm more interested in hearing that, because everybody is scared of starting Dolphins players.
I would be scared as well, absolutely, except, I mean, I think, you know, Jarvis Landry. You wouldn't even start Jarvis Landry?
In a PPR league, you can talk me into starting Jarvis Landry as a third receiver.
I certainly would be worried about Lamar Miller. He hasn't done anything. Jets' run defense is good. I understand the hesitation with Rishard Matthews, with Revis covering him. I think the Jets are still bad. I just don't buy them. I didn't buy them after the 2-0 start. I was dumb for picking the Jets to beat the Eagles last week. If the Dolphins care at all one bit about Joe Philbin, they go out and finally play well, play up to their abilities, and win an ugly, low-scoring game.
And what happens if they don't care about Joe Philbin and they don't?
Then they lose. Then he gets
fired. And
they're
reacting negatively on the field.
Then they lose and he's fired. Because they got their bye coming up.
I think you might be right.
Yeah.
And based on the way that they played the last 3 weeks, and especially against Buffalo, I mean, that performance was awful all the way around. Home debut, should be fired up. They weren't even competitive.
All right, so just to move things along, Landry and Matthews, they're wide receivers. You don't want to start them?
I don't want to start. I think the problems are starting up front for Miami. Their offensive line isn't in good shape. They can't run the ball. It's going to make it easy for the Jets to defend against them. And when you've got Darrell Revis taking away your best receiver by himself, it's going to make things harder on everybody else.
You are
the only cornerback for the Jets to allow a touchdown this year is Antonio Cromartie. One of them did come out of the slot. Cromartie was in the slot against, I can't remember who it was against, but he allowed a touchdown.
Is it Benjamin, week one?
It might have been Travis Benjamin on a deep ball. We know Jarvis Landry isn't going to do that.
All right, and you're nervous about Calvin Johnson. You don't like him this week. Does that mean you wouldn't start him?
I like him as a low-end number two receiver. I would start him over Percy Harvin. I'm sure you're about to ask me that because I like Harvin this week. But he's been held under 50 yards in two games against Seattle. And maybe Seattle's defense isn't as good as they were in the past, but neither is Calvin. And even with all the targets he's getting, he's averaging, what, 8-something per catch?
Right.
So he's almost become a touchdown dependent fantasy option.
Would you guys start waiver wire pickups, you know, at some point in the season, Dante Moncrief and James Jones over Calvin Johnson this week?
I would do it this week.
Yeah, it's not a bad week to do it. The one thing that I think the Lions should try and do is you get Calvin matched up with Kerry Williams on the left side. He'll win that matchup if Stafford gets him the ball.
If he's left in one-on-one against Kerry Williams, I agree with you. But they've got two nice safeties. One of them will be there to help cover him if they go that route. Why wouldn't they put Richard Sherman on him one-on-one?
They don't move Sherman. When did
they
move Sherman?
They moved him around a little bit in
week one. That's it, because they played a team that doesn't have a receiver.
We're not sure what the Seahawks are going to do.
Yes, we are. The Seahawks don't
move
Richard
Sherman. So he's just going to stay on one side.
Yeah, they still have another pretty good receiver.
Well, then
I guess
Calvin will be on the other side, but I'm telling you, he's going to get Kerry Williams will get help.
I don't doubt that, but then Eric Ebron could have a big game, which we saw against the Packers. Richard Rodgers beat them.
Or this could be a total blowout.
Oh, it will be a total blowout.
Yeah. Three that Jamie doesn't like. Eli Manning, start with him at the Bills.
He hasn't been good on the road going back to last year. Three games with multiple touchdowns over that span. I think you look at Buffalo's defense, they've given up production to quarterbacks, but they've gotten turnovers in the two games where they were, you know, not playing Tom Brady. So Eli, to me, is going to have a couple picks in this game. I think this is one of these 17 to 19 fantasy point days for Eli Manning.
Not only that, what you said about giving up production to quarterbacks, it's taken so many pass attempts for Tannehill and Andrew Luck to just have decent production against the Bills. So they are giving up a lot of passing yards, but so many attempts. I don't know if that happens with Eli. You don't like Jeremy Maclin.
Yeah, I don't buy into what happened last week. I think it was great that they got their first touchdown to receiver in 21 games. I think it was great that Macklin had that big production in the fourth quarter. But I also don't believe that Jeremy Macklin has a Steve Smith type game. This is an easy passing game to defend. You know, Travis Kelce's tough, but he's, you know, coverable. He just makes great plays. Jeremy Macklin, I think they could scheme to take him away.
Macklin or Jarvis Landry?
Landry.
Landry.
Macklin or John Brown?
Brown.
Yes, sir.
And finally, you don't like Ameer Abdullah this week at Seattle. It's
Seattle's going to blow them out. And he's got his high for the season so far is 11 touches. I can't buy into that until they start to get more work.
I bet he gets more this week.
So he'll get
I'm not saying he's going to get a lot of the yards with it, but I bet he gets more this week.
Now, that Seattle-Detroit game is scheduled to be the last one that we're going to talk about today. So I want to bring this up. I think there's statistical reason to be nervous about Russell Wilson if you think this game is going to be a blowout. I went back and looked last year at home games decided by 10 or more points. And Russell Wilson, these were his fantasy point totals, not including fumbles, which I didn't see in the game log, so it might have been even less than this, but not including fumbles, 21 fantasy points. This is 6 points per passing touchdown, by the way. 19 fantasy points, mostly from rushing in that game. 21 fantasy points, with 7 of them coming from rushing. 12 fantasy points and 7 fantasy points. And then go back to last week, only 17 fantasy points. So there is a pattern when they blow teams out at home, Russell Wilson having modest days. What do you guys think about him this week?
I think it's going to come down to how the run game performs more than anything else. And you saw it in the second half last week against Chicago that Russell Wilson had to start doing a little bit more because he wasn't doing much in the first half. Because the run game wasn't moving in the first half. So I almost think I like Wilson better if Lynch doesn't play.
It'd be crazy if Rawls comes out and has another good game.
It would be crazy or it wouldn't be crazy?
It would be, because then you have to wonder, look, was Lynch banged up for the first two and a half games? Or is Rawls outperforming that offensive line?
I think Lynch probably banged up.
I would lean toward that, obviously. But, you know, running backs, when they start to get older and slower, and all the work that this guy's had, do the Seahawks, you know, start to take away work from him if this kid starts to run like what we saw last week? Now, again, it's a small sample size. It was a blowout victory against a bad opponent in their building. But it could be another blowout victory against a bad opponent in their building this week again.
We've touched on a lot of the kind of iffy players this week. Let's run through the games in just a little bit. But I want to tell you about Stamps.com. I know you love when things are convenient and you can get things done with just the click of your mouse. It does not get more convenient than that. Well, now you can do all of your mailing and shipping without leaving your desk thanks to Stamps.com. With Stamps.com, buy and print official U.S. postage for any letter or package. Any letter or package using your own computer, your own printer. You like going to the post office? Who likes going to the post office? You never have to do that again with Stamps.com. Use our promo code FFT for this special offer. Again, the promo code is FFT. You get a 4-week trial, a $110 bonus offer that includes a digital scale and up to $55 free postage. Stamps.com, click the microphone at the top of the homepage, type in FFT. Again, Stamps.com, FFT is the offer code. Support Stamps.com because they support us and support our show by using that promo code. Victor Cruz had a setback with his calf. Likely won't play this week. Is he droppable now?
Yep.
Andrew
Luck.
What a
sad state of affairs.
Yeah, it stinks. Calf injuries are bad. Andrew Luck has a right shoulder injury. Chuck Pagano thinks he will play. Robert Turbin may play this week. Let me go back to Luck real quick. Would you start Flacco over Luck?
No.
I would not, but you just saw what happened when Drew Brees had a shoulder injury and what that did to his passing. I kind of wish I knew a little bit more about Luck, and if he's upgraded to full practice, then I think you can feel a lot better about starting him.
All right, so Robert Turbin, he might get back into the mix for Cleveland?
I don't know if he'll get back this week, but I think he will eventually get in the mix. We've seen them. Duke Johnson played more snaps than Isaiah Crowell last week, probably as a function of them playing from behind and trying to get Duke going, but neither of these running backs have done anything great.
Well, Crowell did week 2.
Yeah. Neither of these running backs have done anything.
It's an interesting week because the Chargers can't stop the run.
Yep, really is. The Patriots acquired another defensive lineman, Akeem Hicks. They gave up Michael Houmanamanui.
Houmanamanui.
Yeah. for the Saints.
I like Hicks. I'm surprised that the Saints let him go.
And Sammy Watkins, LeSean McCoy likely out. Devontae Adams may or may not have a high ankle sprain.
I think he aggravated it.
But he says it's not a high ankle sprain.
Well, whatever it is, he's not playing anytime soon.
High ankle sprains can certainly linger. Alshon Jeffrey is expected to play against the Raiders. Do you expect Jay Cutler?
No.
Charles Johnson?
Maybe.
All right, that'd be nice.
We're hearing that he might play.
Limited practice. I mean, that's a good sign.
Charles Johnson?
No.
Eric Decker?
No.
DeMarco Murray?
Maybe.
Yeah. You got to wait and see. He practiced on Tuesday.
Jonathan Stewart?
Yeah.
Dwayne Allen?
Nah.
Tevin Coleman?
Nah.
Jets at Dolphins? Any thoughts on Ryan Fitzpatrick, who's been, you know, okay?
If you want 17 fantasy points, yes.
He's done, like, the most Ryan Fitzpatrick thing, which is throwing multiple touchdowns in a game and still not getting to 20 fantasy points. Like, that, if that doesn't define Ryan Fitzpatrick, besides crazy beard, amazing math-loving child, I don't know what really, I don't know what else to say.
Dave, you are not as high. You're not as high on Chris Ivory. Sorry to cut you off there. Jamie has Ivory just inside the top 20. You have him right around 24. It's borderline number two.
I'm worried about him still doing the 50-50 dance with Bilal Powell.
If you're desperate for a running back, how good could Bilal Powell be for you?
Not great.
All right.
Especially if Ivory's like active and actually playing, unlike last week where he was active and that's kind of it.
Brandon Marshall, a top 12 wide receiver. So we'll go to the Dolphins. Starter sit Ryan Tannehill this week.
I think he's an easy guy to get away from this week. I know you don't think the Jets are good, but their pass defense has been exceptional.
I think their defense is very good.
You just don't think their team is good as a whole?
Yes.
So you're not buying into the offense?
No.
Do you know that no quarterback has posted more than 10 fantasy points against the Jets yet this year?
And they've played Luck. Who else did they play?
Bradford.
Josh McCown.
Bradford and McCown, right.
Luck and Bradford combined for what, 20 points?
Yeah. Tannehill had one game out of six against the Jets with more than one touchdown. And that includes two last year when Darrell Revis wasn't even on the Jets. So, yeah, get away from Ryan Tannehill.
All right, and Rishard Matthews is outside the top 36, so get away from him.
It's just because of Revis.
Right, and we talked about Landry. Lamar Miller, just you start the Denver guy. Like, we didn't start Hillman over him, but Dave, you don't like C.J. Anderson. Would you start Lamar Miller or C.J. Anderson?
I think I have Miller behind Anderson in my rankings. If you'd like me to double-check, I'd be happy to do it.
You have Anderson ahead of Miller.
Right.
You have Crowell ahead of Miller. Jamie,
I do.
Would you
start Matt Jones also ahead of Miller? I don't want to start Lamar Miller.
Okay. Yeah, you both have Crowell and Matt Jones ahead of Miller. All right, sit Miller. Jordan Cameron, borderline top 12. Would you rather have Cameron or Owen Daniels this week?
Give me Daniels.
Owen Daniels.
More upside.
Coby Fleener or Jordan Cameron?
Fleener. Especially if Dwayne Allen's out.
How about Heath Miller tonight?
Sure.
All right.
I don't want to start any Dolphins.
And the Jets DST is fifth for Jamie and seventh for Dave. The Chiefs are at the Bengals. I think everybody should know that I'm probably not picking a bonanza this week. But I gave...
Well, good. Finally, you're not picking a bonanza.
You finally learned
your lesson, Adam.
I gave some thought to this game for some reason. Not for some reason. Cincinnati's going to score, and Kansas City is Jamal Charles. So, anyway,
sure.
Cincinnati's defense really has been great that year, but are there any Chiefs you would start? Well, I guess you're going to start Kelce. Let me ask you,
Jamal Charles.
Yeah, no, I was going to say other than Jamal Charles. Let me ask you this. Do you like Jamal Charles in FanDuel this week?
Yeah, I wouldn't hate it.
Cash, yes. Tournament, no.
Yeah. I think you can find other players at that price point that you might prefer.
Like Latavius is better.
Which tight end do you like better this week? Eifert or Kelce?
Kelce.
Kelce.
Yeah, I think you guys have them both very close in the top six. So you're starting them. Andy Dalton? Yeah.
Kelsey's third for me.
Starting Andy Dalton over Drew Brees?
Yes.
Yes.
No problem.
I'm starting Andy Dalton over Peyton Manning.
That's where I was going next. All right.
Yeah, the only quarterbacks I like better than Dalton this week, Rodgers, Cam. Love Cam this week. Luck, and Matt Ryan. I'll start Dalton over Carson Palmer.
Yeah.
Wow, okay. Marvin Jones. All right, we're obviously starting AJ Green. What about Marvin Jones?
I think he's an okay number two this week. This is a very bad secondary. You got to look at the way the targets have gone to Jones, 13 in the last two games. They've increased over the last two games. And so the one concern would be is if it's an AJ Green touchdown, it's a Eifert touchdown, they're sitting on the lead, they're trying to get Jeremy Hill going, and then Jones isn't involved. So you just have to sort of weigh what you're doing. Like, I'd still start Calvin over Marvin Jones. I wouldn't get cute with that. But I'd start Jones over Landry.
Oh, geez, you're reading my mind. I was going to ask you that. Would you start Jones over C.J. Anderson in a flex?
I would.
I would not in standard. I would in PPR.
I would. I don't care what the league scoring is. Here's the thing. It feels like it's going to be a guessing game between Marvin Jones and Tyler Eifert every week. I don't know if there's a way that they can both get good numbers and A.J. Green does his thing as well. But I'll tell you this. Kansas City's allowed 10 or more fantasy points to three receivers in its last two games. And I like the matchup better for Jones than I do for Eifert this week.
By the way, never mind. I think we covered that. Giants at Bills. Another game I considered putting the B word on, but I am not willing to lose Eli Manning for an extended period of time due to the injury.
Oh, that's a bonanza then.
No. It's not. I don't have enough faith in the, Giants offense here. Jamie says sit Eli Manning. Dave, you're on board with that?
No, I like him as a low-end starter. I mean, every quarterback to face the Bills has thrown multiple touchdowns. Two have gotten at least 21 fantasy points. Manning on the road, yeah, it's not a good track record. Also, Manning against Rex Ryan coach defenses, not good either. But he's going to have to throw a lot. I don't think the Giants are going to be able to run.
Wait a second.
And as long as he's got Odell Beckham.
He hasn't faced a Rex Ryan coach defense in 4 years.
It's been a while since he's faced one. But he doesn't have a good track record against them. And I wonder if that's just Rex kind of doing what he does against Eli, what he does.
That's pretty irrelevant to me.
Okay. Well,
completely irrelevant.
It's just too long ago.
Bottom line is this. He's going to have to throw. I'm arguing against that point anyway. He's going to have to throw. And I think you can buy into him on volume alone against this Bills defense that does allow some fantasy numbers.
And the most.
I would say Eli at best has a Ryan Tannehill game.
Well, the funny thing is, you have Tannehill, you have Eli 12th, and Jamie has him 13th. So I don't know how far apart you guys are on him. Just being 12th means you're a borderline start. Being 13th,
if I'll tell you, I was in this scenario. Like, I had Eli and Bradford in one league, and I dropped Bradford to pick up Dalton, which I don't know if that's a stretch. But if I had to pick up Derek Carr or Tyrod Taylor, I would do that in a heartbeat and drop. I would start both those guys over Eli.
I would too.
So, you know, two guys that you know, were probably available on waivers this week.
Can you trust any Giants running back?
You know who my favorite one is this week? Is Vereen.
Yeah.
He should be.
Gotta be.
But it's not. I'm not expecting a ton.
Vereen or Giovanni Bernard?
I'd go Gio.
I would put Vereen behind, but it's close. Like the Dunbars and the Sproles, but he's in that category.
Okay. Any thoughts of starting Reuben Randall?
Sure. If I like Eli and I think they're going to throw a lot, then I've got to give Randall a chance. I don't know if I like him to have a monster game. I don't think he does what he did last week. But if you're looking for 80 to 90 total yards on 5 or 6 or 7 catches, I think he can get you that.
I'd take the under. I'd say he's about 7 yards total.
How many catches?
4.
Yeah, I'll take the over on that.
Randall or Harvin?
Harvin, more upside.
Yep, Harvin.
Larry Donnell is not a good replacement for Gronk. Don't do that. But what Charles Clay is, you guys love Charles Clay. He's top 6. Jamie has Martellus Bennett ahead of Clay, but Dave doesn't. Dave has Jordan Reed ahead of Clay, but Jamie doesn't. So a little bit of difference there. But you can definitely start Charles Clay this week. Let's talk about Tyrod Taylor. Would you rather have Tyrod Taylor or Phillip Rivers?
I would rather have Tyrod Taylor.
Even with him banged up.
Tyrod Taylor or Russell Wilson?
I would rather have Russell Wilson.
I wouldn't. Give me Tyrod Taylor.
And we talked
a lot. If Sammy Watkins was playing, I would say give me Tyrod Taylor.
Yeah. We talked a lot about Carlos Williams, Percy Harvin. Would you give any thought to Robert Woods in a deep league if Sammy Watkins is out?
Like sure. The 18-team start 4 receiver league? Sure. That's okay. How it's got to be deep.
What about our podcast 14-team PPR league, for example? Not deep enough?
Yeah, I guess if you if you have a receiver on bye or something and he's on waivers, then he might be your best option.
Steven O hasn't projected for a decent game.
Buffalo
he's
DST.
He's a FanDuel guy, too.
Buffalo DST is number 7 for Jamie, number 8 for Dave. We got 4 games left. Cleveland at San Diego. All right, I think we've broken down the running backs for San Diego quite a bit. How about the running backs for Cleveland? Can Isaiah Crowell be a decent flex option this week? San Diego is terrible against the run.
They've been lit up on the ground, but it's been by really good run offenses. I'm not ready to call the Browns offense or the Browns run game, you know, on pace with even the Lions.
Detroit
did a number on them in week one. And the Vikings, obviously, last week, they've got Adrian Peterson.
Dave, tell me what you make of this. Look at the running backs who did well against San Diego. Abdullah, Giovanni Bernard, Adrian Peterson. Peterson's whatever. He's in a class of his own. Joik Bell, Jeremy Hill did not do well. Does that mean like the bigger running backs might not be as good against this defense?
Well, Hill got benched and he fumbled twice. So I don't know if I want to credit that. And Joik Bell stinks.
Yes.
So I don't know if I want to give much credit to that either. It just might be a case where they're not good against the run in general. But I don't know if I don't know if I'm ready to trust this Browns run game in that regard. Maybe if I'm, you know, am I in a deep league and I'm missing Deion Lewis this week? Is Isaiah Crowell a replacement? Of course. But
all right.
I don't know. I think he's stuck in a running downs role. I think he's going to have to score in order to help your fantasy team out. And I think Duke Johnson might even be close enough to start over him in full point PPR.
Who do you guys like better, Crowell or Macklin?
I would take Macklin. I think he's got more upside. And definitely in PPR, you're taking Macklin.
Crowell or Harvin?
I would gamble on Percy.
Okay. Yep. Okay.
Like, I don't see a ton of upside with Crowell.
He's got
a
score.
We've talked about some deep league receiver, you know, Robert Woods, Percy Harvin, whatever. How about Travis Benjamin? Does he fit into that equation?
No.
Okay.
The most fantasy points the Chargers have allowed to a receiver this year is 10, and their secondary is getting healthy. They're going to get back some guys that they haven't had and they could have used the past couple of weeks.
Oh, I think I have to bring this up. What is the state of the Chargers offensive line if you're going to throw support on Gordon?
It's a really good question. They had 3 guys get hurt last week. One of them, DJ Fluker, already back at practice. I think he's going to play. The other 2 might not play. So that's a big deal. But the Browns front 7 is banged up too. They're without Randy Starks or without Greg Robertson. It might not be that bad of a matchup. If the Chargers were taking on, I don't know, let me think of another bad team, but they've got a good defensive line. St. Louis. Mm-hmm. If they were taking on St. Louis, I'd be scared to death. But they're not. They're taking on the Browns.
Okay. Gary Barnage, any thought to him?
Nope. Not playing the Raiders anymore.
Yeah. San Diego's given up 2 tight end touchdowns this year.
They've done well against tight ends.
Well, they haven't given up yards, but they did give up touchdowns to Ebron and Eifert.
Yeah, Barnage might get you 50 yards.
How do you feel about Phillip Rivers this year? This week?
This year?
This week.
This week? I'm worried.
Over Eli.
I wouldn't. I would take Eli over Rivers. It's a great matchup for him. I just don't know how much he's going to throw.
He'll throw enough that he'll get 2 touchdowns like every other quarterback has against this defense.
Jamie, your thoughts on Ladarius Green if he plays?
If he plays, I would start him over Jordan Cameron.
Would you start him over Kobe Fleener?
I would not start him over Kobe Fleener.
All right. San Diego DST, top 10. They're 9th for both Dave and Jamie.
McCown was sacked 5 times last week.
Jacksonville at Indianapolis. Last year, the Colts won both games by a combined score of 67-20. For what it's worth, we don't have to talk about Blake Bortles, but you guys both have Bortles ahead of Matthew Stafford. For Jamie, it's only 1 spot ahead. For Dave, it's a lot more than that.
Mm-hmm.
TJ Yeldon, we got to sit TJ Yeldon, right?
Yeah, I don't love him. Workload is the only thing that's in his favor. But, I mean, look what he's done through 3 weeks so far. It hasn't been good.
And look at what the Colts have allowed. 4 different backs have scored on them over 3 weeks, 2 from the goal line. I think if you're going to call TJ Yeldon somebody who has to score for your fantasy team in order to have him be a success story, I think there's a good chance this week.
Okay. Allen Robinson. D- Do you like Allen Robinson this week? Do you actually like Allen Hurns better than Allen Robinson, given the Vontae Davis thing?
No.
All right, so how about the first question, Jamie? Simple. Do you like Allen Robinson this week?
Kind of by default. You know, he's had one good game through three, and he needs to start playing a little better. Bortles has to start getting more involved. So I want to see more from him, but I think target volume should be in his favor, so I'll gamble on him as a number two receiver.
Did the Patriots lay out a blueprint on how to take him away? And if they did, that's great, but Allen Hurns still had that big catch for a touchdown. So I don't know if teams can really do what the Patriots did and bracket Allen Robinson and take away that top target without expecting to give up some numbers. And if the Colts do that, say they do that, Allen Hurns is going to have a monster game. So I think you can still start Robinson with some confidence. I think Hurns is a great sleeper this week. I think he's worth trusting in FanDuel.
Okay. All right, then. Well, I guess that covers the Jaguars now, doesn't it? The Colts. What, you're going to start Gore. You guys love Gore this week. You're going to start Moncrief and Hilton. What if Andrew Luck does not play or is, you know, questionable coming in, just doesn't seem healthy? How would that affect your strategy in this game?
It would knock down Hilton a bunch because I don't think the deep ball will be in the game plan. So, I don't know.
It would knock down Hilton more.
How often Hasselbeck can chuck it?
It would knock down Hilton more than Moncrief.
No, I think it would. I think it would knock them both down. Hilton would probably still be the preferred guy, but not by much. They might even end up being back to back among number two receivers.
How much do you like? How much do you like Kobe Fleener in this game if Dwayne Allen sits?
I think he can bounce back and have a better game than last week.
I think he's a must-start tight end.
The Jaguars have allowed a touchdown to a tight end. They allowed one 2 weeks ago and 100 yards to Gronk last week.
Yeah, but that's not so bad. They kept him out of the end zone.
I would take 100 yards from Kobe Fleener. I would take 80 yards from Kobe Fleener.
As I pointed out, Luck only threw 30 passes last week. If he throws more passes, Fleener could definitely benefit. And the Colts DST, Jamie likes them. They're 11th. Dave doesn't. They're 18th. Yeah.
They're not good.
Minnesota's at Denver. Jamie, starters at Peyton Manning.
Starter.
What do you expect from him?
I expect him to do what he did 2 weeks ago at least.
Which is 26 fantasy points?
No, 22.
I thought he had 26 against the Chiefs, 22. Maybe I switched that. CJ Anderson, we've talked about a lot. Owen Daniels or Kobe Fleener?
Fleener.
I think I have Daniels ranked higher.
I think they're very close. Owen Daniels,
they are
10
definitely
for you guys.
Very close.
Would you start Daniels over Ebron this week?
Yes.
The Minnesota passing game. Are we sitting everyone in the Minnesota passing game? And does that include Kyle Rudolph?
Do they have a passing game?
They do. It's Kyle Rudolph.
Yeah. If you want a ceiling of 9 fantasy points or a floor of 4. No, I don't want any part of Kyle Rudolph against the Broncos defense.
I think he's the only guy that has a chance to do anything against
Minnesota.
On
what?
Because look at these receivers and look at
the
matchup of the
receivers.
That doesn't mean the receivers
are going to do well.
Bridgewater loves this guy.
Yeah, for 5 targets and his best game is what? 50 yards receiving? So you're going to get 5 for 50?
Well, in 2 of those games, they leaned on Adrian Peterson. They were able to run their way to victory. They're not going to be able to do that this week.
And obviously, Bridgewater's going to have to throw. Kyle Rudolph is a main
But they've got to watch the receivers too.
Two tight ends who have played well so far this season have done bupkis against this Broncos defense.
Who?
Travis Kelce.
Okay.
He's pretty good. Eric Ebron.
Short week, and Alex Smith stunk in that game.
Oh,
And you know how Matthew Stafford is.
Okay. And how's Teddy Bridgewater? He's fantastic?
He's going to have to throw.
Okay, fine.
It's not going to be Michael Wallace. Charles Johnson's not going
to
play.
I'll take the 7 targets to Kyle Rudolph for 40 yards. If he has more than 60 yards, I'd be surprised. And he won't score.
Rudolph is 15th for Jamie in PPR, 9th
I'll start
for Dave.
Max Williams tonight with much more confidence over Kyle Rudolph this week.
I mean, I see where Dave's coming from. It could just be by default. Somebody's got to do something when he's throwing because they're trailing. Peterson.
It'd be Cordarrelle Patterson for that matter then.
Adrian Peterson, obviously starting in seasonal. Is the matchup too tough to spend the money on him in FanDuel?
Yes. I would say yes.
You're going to start him in your regular leagues because you will. Definitely not in FanDuel. And it's great too because a lot of people, I don't think a lot of people are going to recognize the matchup. I think they're going to see how Adrian Peterson's done the last 2 weeks, and they're going to click on starting him. So we won't be those people.
Denver DST is number 3 for both of you. In our last game, Detroit at Seattle, we've kind of covered this one pretty extensively. We talked about Russell Wilson. You're not starting Matthew Stafford. Just give me your thoughts on how you're approaching the Seattle running backs this week.
You can't do anything unless the Seahawks decide to make news until Saturday. Their last practice for the game is on Saturday. And if it's going to be Marshawn Lynch listed as questionable, and we talked about this on radio last Saturday, most of the time when a player is listed as questionable under Pete Carroll, they play. I expect him to practice at some point between now and Saturday, but even if he is active for the game, I'm just not sure how much work he's going to get. It'll ruin a lot of things if Lynch is active. If I have Lynch on my fantasy team, I'm doing everything I can in the next 48 hours to get Thomas Rawls. If I can pick him up, great. Maybe I already have picked him up. I'm covered. It really just depends on what we hear out of Seattle between now and Saturday to gauge my comfort level. If you want to run through every scenario, Adam, we can. But the bottom line is I might not feel so great about Lynch unless he's practicing in full and Pete Carroll gives him the old thumbs up.
Rawls is 43% owned, by the way. Jamie, is there any Seattle wide receiver worth starting in this game?
No, it's just too risky. I mean, 1 week it's Curse, 1 week it's Baldwin, 1 week it's Curse again. The only guy that you could trust is Jimmy Graham.
We got to avoid the Detroit running backs. Calvin Johnson, you know, lowered expectations, number 2 receiver. I went back and I looked at the elite receivers against Seattle last year. If you want to know the stats, Jordy Nelson had 9 catches for 83 yards, but Randall Cobb caught a touchdown in that game. Demaryius Thomas was terrible, but Emmanuel Sanders had a huge game. Dez Bryant, 4 catches, 63 yards. Kelvin Benjamin, actually, 4 catches, 94 yards. Odell Beckham had 7 for 108. Jeremy Maclin, 3 catches, 21 yards, and a touchdown. There were some good performances. I was actually thinking, could Golden Tate actually sneak in there and produce this week?
If you want to buy into the revenge game, sure.
Oh, yeah,
he's,
I forgot about that.
He's averaged 5 fantasy points in standard leagues, 10 in PPR. And if he can't get more than that when he's not playing at Seattle, what makes you think he can beat that in Seattle?
Okay. Ebron is interesting. You guys have him just outside the top 12. Seattle has been a little bit vulnerable against tight ends, except for Martellus Bennett with Jimmy Clausen at quarterback. Thoughts on Ebron?
He's a low-end starting option, one that you wouldn't feel excited about. Not when you can go get Owen Daniels
okay,
or Kyle Rudolph. What do you like about Rudolph or Ebron, Jamie?
Ebron.
Okay.
Let's read some emails. You're starting the Seahawks DST. They're number 1 for Jamie, number 2 for Dave. This one is a grade the trade from Andrew from the land of Lincoln.
That's Illinois.
Yeah, sure is. Says, Dear Agent Dale Cooper, Sheriff Harry S. Truman, and Bob. No idea. The whole Adam picking up Anthony Dixon thing is very similar to when he picked up J.D. Martin last year in fantasy baseball.
Yep.
Did you think about that, Jamie?
Well, we got sidetracked yesterday, but when you first said it, I go, this brings back nightmares for me.
Oh, that's what you were talking about.
Yeah.
Yes, if you're not a baseball fan, J.D. Martinez emerged last year as one of the best players in fantasy, and Jamie and I shared a fantasy team, and we picked up J.D. Martin.
I picked up
J.D. Martin instead of J.D. Martinez, and might have cost us a championship, to be quite honest with you. By the way, that appears to be Twin Peaks, that reference. Very strange. Grade the trade. 14-team quarterback flex league. Give up David Carr, John Brown, and Chris Ivory. You're giving up David Carr, John Brown, and Chris
Ivory.
How about
Derek Carr?
He wrote David. That's not on me.
You should know better.
I should, but then he wrote David. Derek Carr, John Brown, and Chris Ivory. You're getting Jay Cutler and Antonio Brown.
I actually think it's a pretty good deal if you're getting Brown and Cutler. Brown's the best player in the trade.
Yeah.
And he says, I'm 3-0. I have Ryan Mallett on my roster with hopefully Foster coming back. Also, to weigh in on the bonanza, I think Adam has to keep it going. The Cubs don't stop playing baseball just because they're cursed. I like that.
There you go. Find inspiration in the Chicago Cubs.
Next email from a Raiders fan. Dear Fredo, Sonny, and Michael. You want to give him a name, Dave?
Raul.
I know the ranking. I know the rankings of Anderson higher than Matt Jones, but am I crazy to think of ignoring that and starting Matt Jones over CJ Anderson?
I think that that's a little too risky. They're both going to split carries. I think Matt Jones will not be the first back out for Washington this week. I think Alpha's going to be it by default. And I think the only way Jones has a good game is if he, A, holds on to the football, and B, has a hot hand against Philadelphia. And that's possible, but I think CJ Anderson's going to get more touches.
From Corwin, now that Jonathan Stewart is a little banged up, will Cameron Artis Payne get some playing time? And where's Corwin from, Dave?
Sturgeon Bay, Wisconsin.
Is Cameron Artis Payne going to get any playing time?
I think he's been inactive all 3 weeks so far. And poor Jonathan Stewart's been banged up but playing every week anyway.
So no.
Yeah, no.
Matt from Orlando. Hello. Wait. Oh, here we go. Says, what's good, Mac, Charlie, and Mac's mom? That would be It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. He has not missed an episode. He's new to the podcast, but hasn't missed since he started listening.
You should go back and start listening to episodes in like 2011.
Which two running backs do I start? Adrian Peterson, Devontae Freeman, Carlos Williams. And Lamar Miller.
I would sit Williams.
I'd sit Freeman.
Really? You'd go with Carlos Williams over Devontae Freeman? Mm-hmm. That's interesting.
You'd start Freeman over Williams, Dave?
Yes.
Okay.
I would.
This is from Jan. Pick three funny names for yourselves.
Herschel.
Nando, Herc, and...
Nathan. 10-team standard league. Who do I put in my flex? Amari Cooper, Steve Smith, or Jeremy Maclin?
Cooper.
And
that's not a question. People are still doubting Amari Cooper?
What, Steve Smith?
Yeah, he's good too.
Against
Pittsburgh? It's Amari Cooper against the Bears.
Yeah, I think it's a tough one. All right, last one is from Kenny. Where is he from?
Pueblo, Colorado.
Gray the trade. Marshawn Lynch. Oh, actually put Marshall Lynch and Shane Vereen for Latavius Murray and Matt Jones. Give up Marshall Lynch and Shane Vereen. So I don't want people to think it's Brandon Marshall and Marshawn Lynch. Marshawn Lynch and Shane Vereen, you get Latavius Murray and Matt Jones.
Do we know if it's a PPR league?
I do not know.
I don't think it matters. I think you take the other side, not the Lynch side.
You'd rather have Murray and Jones?
Yeah.
So grade it.
Pass. It's a passing grade.
And I'm sure Jamie will give it an A.
No,
you just gave it a B.
Oh, a B. All right, very good, very good. Well, that's going to do it for us today. Make sure you watch Fantasy Football Today live at noon Eastern for more info. Back tomorrow with the NFC home games, and we will react to Thursday Night Football. I just have one question. Honest answer, Dave, did you know there was a Hurricanes game tonight before I said it on the air?
Yes.
Okay.
But if you told me last week, I don't know what I would have told you.
For Dave Richard, Jamie Eisenberg, I'm Adam Azer. See you tomorrow.
Later. Bye.